50. To his niece, Sofia Alexandrovna. Dresden. August the 29th, September the 10th, 1869. At last I have arrived at writing to you, my dear and only woman friend, Sonichka. What can you have thought of my long silence? I'll tell you in a few words all that is worth knowing about myself. I am only writing to link up our broken chain of communication. But I will say besides that my thoughts of you and yours have not been broken. Anya and I always talk of you whenever we think of our Russian home, and that is many times a day. I remained stuck so long at Florence only because I had not the money to leave it. The staff of the Ruski Vestnik left my urgent request for money unanswered for more than 3 months. I have, but this between ourselves, grounds for supposing that they had no money in the till, and that that was the only reason why they did not answer for so long. At last they sent me, 5 weeks ago, 700 rubles to Florence. Well, dear friend, call upon your whole powers of imagination and try to depict for yourself what we in Florence, during the whole of June and July and half of August, were going through. In my whole life, I've never experienced anything like it. The guidebooks may say that Florence, by reason of its position, is the coldest town in winter of all Italy. They mean the actual Italy, that is to say, the whole peninsula. But in summer, it is the hottest town in the whole peninsula, and even in the whole Mediterranean region. Only some parts of Sicily and Algiers can touch Florence for heat. Well, and so it was as hot as hell, and we bore it like true Russians who notoriously can bear anything. I may add that for the last 6 weeks of our stay there, we were very hard up. We had not, it is true, to suffer actual privation in any respect, nor did we deny ourselves anything, but our abode was thoroughly uncomfortable. We had been obliged, for unforeseen reasons, to leave the house where we had spent the winter. While we were waiting for that money, we went to a family with whom we are friendly, and rented provisionally a tiny dwelling. But as the money delayed to come, we had to stay in that hole, where we caught two beastly tarantulas, 3 whole months. Our windows gave on a market square with arcades and splendid granite pillars. In the square was a municipal fountain in the form of a gigantic bronze boar from whose throat the water flowed. It is a classic masterpiece of rare beauty. Well, now reflect that all those arcades and the masses of stone by which the whole square is surrounded drank in and accumulated all the heat of the sun and got as scorching as a stovepipe in a vapour bath. And that was the atmosphere we had to live in. The real heat, that is, the real hell heat, we had to groan under for 6 weeks. Earlier it was just in a sort of way endurable. It was nearly always 34 and 35 degrees Réaumur in the shade. You must know that the air, despite this heat and drought, it never once rained, was wonderfully light. The green in the gardens, of which there are astonishingly few in Florence, one sees hardly anything but stones, the green neither withered nor faded, but seemed brighter and fresher every day. The flowers and lemon trees had apparently only waited for the heat. But what astonished me most, me who was imprisoned in Florence by untoward circumstance, was that the itinerant foreigners, who are nearly all very rich, mostly remained in Florence. New ones even arrived every day. Usually the tourists of all Europe throng, at the beginning of the hot weather, to the German spas. When I saw in the streets well-dressed English women and even French women, I could not conceive why these people, who had money to get away with, could voluntarily stay in such a hell. I was sorriest of all for poor Anya. The poor thing was then in her 7th or 8th month, and so suffered dreadfully from the heat. Moreover, the population of Florence spends the whole night on its feet, and there's a terrible deal of singing. Of course, we had our windows open at night. Then about 5 o'clock in the morning, the people began to racket in the market, and the donkeys to bray, so that we could never close an eye. The distance from Florence to Prague, by Venice and then by boat to Trieste, there's no other way, is more than 1,000 versts. I was therefore very anxious about Anya. But the renowned Dr. Sapetti of Florence examined her and said that she could undertake the journey without any risk. He was right, too, and the journey went off well. On the way, we stopped 2 days in Venice. When Anya saw the piazza of St. Mark's and the palaces, she almost screamed with delight. In St. Mark's, the church is a wonderful, incomparable building, she lost her carved fan, which I had bought her in Switzerland, and which was particularly dear to her. She has so few trinkets, you see. My God, how she did cry over it. We liked Vienna very much, too. Vienna is decidedly more beautiful than Paris. In Prague, we spent 3 days looking for a place of abode, but found none. One can, in fact, only get unfurnished rooms there, as in Petersburg or Moscow. Then one has to get one's own furniture and a servant maid and set up house and so forth. Nothing else is to be had. Our means did not permit of it, and therefore we left Prague. Now we have been 3 months in Dresden. Anya's confinement may happen at any moment. For the present, we are not doing so badly, but I am badly sold, for it seems now that the hot, dry air in Florence was extraordinarily beneficial to my health, and even more so to my nerves, nor had Anya anything to complain of, rather the contrary. It was precisely on the hottest days that the epilepsy was least perceptible, and my attacks in Florence were much slighter than anywhere else. But here I'm always ill. Perhaps it may be only the effect of the journey. I don't know if I've caught cold or if the feverish attacks come from the nerves. These last 3 weeks I have had 2, both very vicious ones. Yet the weather is glorious. I ascribe it all to the fact of coming suddenly from the Italian to the German climate. I have fever at the actual moment, and think that in this climate I shall write feverishly, that is, incoherently. Now I have given you a lot of information about myself. Of course, it is only the 100th part. Besides illness, many things oppress me, of which I can give no idea at all. Here is an example. I must absolutely deliver the beginning of my novel in time for the January number of the Ruski Vestnik. To be sure, I am bound to admit that they do not press me in any way. They behave remarkably well to me and never refuse advances, though I already owe them a very great deal. But I am tormented by pangs of conscience, and so feel just the same as if they did press me. Moreover, I took an advance of 300 rubles from the Tsaria early in the year, and that with a promise to send them this very year a story of at least 3 sheets. At the present moment, I have not begun either the one or the other of these tasks. At Florence, I could not work on account of the heat. When I undertook the obligation, I reckoned on going from Florence to Germany early in the new year, and there setting to work at once. But what can I do when people make me wait 3 months for money, and thus remove me from the possibility of doing anything at all? Anya will, in about 10 days, present me with a child, probably a boy, and this will further delay my endeavours. She will certainly have to keep her bed for 3 weeks, and so will not be able either to do shorthand or to copy for me. Of my own health I need not speak. And then the work itself. Must I, to carry out my commissions punctually, tumble over my own feet, as it were, and so spoil all? I am now utterly possessed by one idea, yet I dare not take any steps to carry it out, for I am not sufficiently prepared to do so. I still have much to ponder, and I must collect material. Thus I have to force myself to write, meanwhile, some new stories. And to me that is terrible. What lies before me and how I shall arrange my affairs is to me an enigma. Till the next time, my dear friend. Write me a great deal about yourself, and above all, as many facts as possible. I embrace you. Your ever devoted, Fyodor Dostoevsky.